Big show for you here today. It is Justin Boone's time. Yes, and it's a big one. 10 sleepers that you need in your fantasy football drafts this year. And trust me, these are real deal sleepers, okay? We're not messing around with like Parker Washington, Luther Burden, heck of a sleeper after coming on late. No. These are real actual sleepers. All guys that are going outside the top 100 picks in consensus ADP right now. We talk every position. We got some wide receivers. A guy that you all are not expecting me to bring up. I promise you that. We got running backs, quarterback out there, a tight end as well. And then we wrap up the show with Eric Froton, who has four college fantasy football sleepers for you guys to keep an eye on this year. Because, yes, college fantasy football available now on Yahoo. You can sign up for a league today, okay? So while you're listening to this great show, you're going to go ahead and do that. All that and more coming up on this show. Let's get into it. What's going on, everyone? I'm Matt Harmon. Welcome to the Yahoo Fantasy Forecast, and it is a hell of a day to talk ball, and joining me to do just that is my guy. Looking good over there on the other side here. Boone, did you get a haircut? What's the deal? Anyways, as I just said, it's Justin Boone. Boone, what's going on, man? You look good for August.
I did get a haircut, and partially because we are in August, man. We got to get serious now. Things are coming up quickly, and excited to be on with you. Now what? Every Monday until the new year, until the end of the season, it's going to be a long stretch. We've got a long way to go to climb this mountain, but we're at the start of it. It's always an exciting time, and let's get to it, man.
No doubt. It is an exciting time, man. I can feel football season in the air. We've got injuries. We've got things happening in training camp. And of course, for you all out there, we have the road to your most important drafts this year. Actually, as I said yesterday, even your unimportant drafts. We're getting you ready for all of those here in August with daily shows, Sunday to Thursday, right here on the Yahoo Fantasy Forecast, YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts, the whole deal. And today, we have a very big show ahead of us because it is 10 sleepers that you can't sleep on this draft season. Also, speaking of sleepers, Eric Froton is going to join me in the back of the show to talk Yahoo College Fantasy Football. Because, baby, we've got four sleepers in college fantasy that you can't sleep on either. Those four names, I'll tell you what, never heard of any of those guys. All right. Eric is going to completely school me on those four players. I'm going to need those tips for my college fantasy drafts. That is for sure. But Boone, I'm going to give us some props here right off the top as you're going to bring five sleepers to the table. I'm going to bring five sleepers to the table. And let me tell you what, folks, you are definitely going to be able to come back to this episode in probably not even January. You're not even going to need that long. You're going to be able to come back to this episode probably sooner than that to dunk on us because these are 10 real sleepers. I think pretty much all of these, there are some of these guys that are absolutely not going to work out, but that's what guys like us, Boone, we take this exercise seriously. We're not just picking like, oh, so sleeper this year, Parker Washington. I don't think so. Okay. These are real sleepers we're going to be talking about on the show today.
When we were joking before the show that, you know, we wrote some articles earlier in the offseason. I wrote some sleeper articles a couple months ago. Things change very quickly. And there were guys back then that we identified as sleepers that the ADPs have just skyrocketed. And now you can't call them sleepers anymore. And I think there's a lot of different ways to approach sleepers. I think the general idea we're going to go with today is guys that are outside of the top 100 picks. I think you also have to add a little bit of context to some of that, right? Like there's some players that might be higher draft picks, but we see their ADPs down a little lower for a reason. To identify like a first round rookie as a sleeper, I think that's probably a little bit silly, right? Like these guys that are well known, but we're coming at it, I think, from a pretty good place. Some of these names are guys that we have talked about throughout the offseason. There's a couple on this list, though, that I think are a little more interesting that are way, way down there, and you could get them with maybe your last pick in redraft, or you're looking at them as very late round picks in some of these best ball drafts. So I think those are the fun ones that we'll get to a little bit later.
Yeah, with all of these things, the fantasy, you know, terms and all that, it's a moving target because if you've been locked in on fantasy football news 365 days a year, every month, maybe some of these are not sleepers. But you know what? We love those folks because you guys keep the lights on. But we also love the folks who come back here in August and say, all right, now time to lock in with what is Boone saying here because it's time for my drafts coming up soon. So I think we've encompassed something for everyone here on this show. But let's waste no more time. Let's get into our 10 sleepers that you can't sleep on this draft season. Boone, Why don't you get us started here?
I'm going with the guy that we have talked about many times, Harmon, and it's not just this offseason. It's been for several offseasons before you and I even worked together. I think separately, we were both talking about this guy. That's Josh Downs on the Colts, and we've known the talent is there. It's a bit of like a fool me once, fool me twice, hopefully we don't get fooled again kind of situation, because this guy could be a really good NFL receiver, a really good fantasy receiver, but he's been held back by the fact that they haven't really used him enough, right? He's not really out there enough to put up huge stats. He's had some stretches where he's been very good. We've seen that. We've kind of seen flashes of higher production from him, but we haven't seen it over the course of a full season. And he's a bit of a smaller player. So, you know, sometimes those guys get lost in the mix. They get relegated to the slot, 5'9", 171 pounds. But this year, things are different. And when we're talking about sleepers, one of the ways to try to find somebody that could really surprise people is by finding someone where their situation has changed. And man, Downs is a guy where his situation has finally changed. It's finally opened up for him here. Michael Pittman now out of the way. That's 111 targets out of the offense. Alec Pierce coming into this season just signed the huge contract in the offseason. He's expected to be the true number one target in this offense. And yet he's coming off of this ankle injury. He's not practicing yet. We don't really know exactly what his timeline is. So is he going to get to the regular season and either potentially miss time or be a little limited, not be 100% to start the year? That could give Downs more opportunity. But also, and this is the biggest thing, Harmon, we're finally hearing from the GM, Chris Ballard, from his head coach, Shane Steichen, that they are going to use him more, that they are going to get him out there in two receiver sets. They want to find ways to get him the ball, and they kind of have to, because who else in that receiving core can they lean on, right? Ashton Doolin is not the guy. He is not going to be the guy. Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, not the guy. We'll see those guys probably mixed into the offense, but they're not going to take big target shares away. Tyler Warren is somebody at tight end that I've talked about a bunch that I really like. I think he's going to be a really meaningful piece. But so is Downs. And last year, let's not forget how good this offense was early in the season, leading the league in points per game, really humming until Daniel Jones got hurt. And right now, Daniel Jones' recovery might not be totally the same player he was early last season, but he's coming along well. We expect him to be out there. And I expect this offense to get back to some version, maybe not quite what they were doing early last season, but some version of that, which is still a very good offense, and Downs is going to profit because of it.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you don't have to talk me into Josh Downs. I don't think you have to. You might have to actually talk people who listen to this show into Josh Downs, because I've been trying to talk them into Josh Downs for quite a few years, and it hasn't quite come together from a fantasy football standpoint for all the reasons that you laid out there. But, I mean, yeah, this was a great way to just kind of sum it up, you know, by you. If you're talking about someone who, you know, maybe has kind of sort of broken out but hasn't fully reached that level, we want to look for guys who are talented, guys who are good at football, and the situation has just fundamentally changed. And there's no question here that that is Josh Downs. Certainly from a talent perspective, this guy's, I mean, I think he's objectively good. You know, subjectively, from a reception perception standpoint, this is one of the flat out best separators in the NFL, period, point blank. He's also a guy who has been heavily targeted since he's been a member of this team. I mean, he has been targeted on just under 24% of his routes since he entered the NFL in 2023. That is right up there with Michael Pittman to lead the team in terms of the top three guys. Alec Pierce, significantly lower than that at 14% of targets per route run. And look, I think Pierce is obviously a fundamentally different player now than he was early in his career. But the question is just how much is Alec Pierce a different player? Not only the fact that, yes, he's coming in with that injury, but Alec Pierce, 84 targets last year, most of his career. Can he be a guy that can see more volume? I definitely think so. But is he going to go from 84 to like 120 plus? I tend to doubt it. I think he will still be really useful in the vertical game. And, you know, you mentioned just the personnel stuff. I actually honestly don't think that's a big variable for Downs. I think Shane Steichen would have to be an idiot to roll out there on the vast majority of his plays with one of his top 11 players on offense not being Josh Downs. And I happen to think Shane Steichen is anything but an idiot. I think he's a really, really good offensive coach in the league. And the kind of next part of that too is Downs even said himself recently, he's like, I'm looking forward to getting back to being like a high volume receiver. He's like, when I was in college, I was handling a ton of work, and I'm expecting that to be the case this year. So there's been a pretty consistent drumbeat out of Indianapolis, Boone, that from, as you mentioned, head coach, GM, the player himself, they're all expecting a role change for Josh Downs. And I think, you know, wide receiver somewhere in the 40s, ADP is just way, way too low. I actually have him ranked as wide receiver 36 and ahead of Alec Pierce.
Yeah, you mentioned him acknowledging, like, you know, being ready for more volume this year. You look back in college, he was that guy, right? 101 catches in his second last college season, 94 catches in his final college season. And we've seen glimpses, like I mentioned, in the pros, we have seen it. He's also struggled with some pretty rough quarterback play at times and hasn't really been matched with that guy that can just feed him the ball. It was Anthony Richardson for quite a bit. But remember, a couple years ago when Joe Flacco got out there, who is a guy that could absolutely feed a talented receiver, we saw Downs post some pretty good fantasy finishes during those games. Wide receiver 8 1 week, wide receiver 25, wide receiver 16, wide receiver 34, wide receiver 21, wide receiver 75, one down week there. And then wide receiver 18 was averaging 7.1 receptions, 66.4 receiving yards during those games with Flacco. So a small sample size, but again, we want to see at least something we can point to where a guy's in the pros and producing really well. And if you think back to even last year, through the first 9 games when Daniel Jones was still healthy, Downs was a wide receiver 4. He's basically in the 40s, around wide receiver 48. That's the range he's being drafted in this year, and that's not really accounting for the change that could happen in this offense for him. So I'm with you. I think he definitely should be looked at as more of a wide receiver 3 flex option and a guy that has quite a bit of a ceiling here, and you can get him outside of the top 100 picks. We were talking before the show, we both have him inside our top 100, and I think for good reason.
Yeah, good football player in an offense that is definitely not going to be as good as it was last year in the first 8 games of the season. I don't care what the Colts are hoping for. There's just no way they're going to be from on a historic points per drive pace as they were in the first 8 games of the season, but still a pretty good ecosystem overall with Daniel Jones looking like he's going to be at least closer to healthy for the vast majority of the season. Okay, I'm going to get into my first sleeper here, and I'm going to go against type, actually. I'm not going to talk about, you know, a guy that necessarily was a prospect I've really believed in or a flag plant player for me necessarily. But Boone, you've been pretty good at shining the light on Jaden Higgins lately from the Houston Texans. And I think he's a really good sleeper, especially relative to where he's going in ADP right now, which right now consensus wise is 155th overall, wide receiver 54. Even if you have some questions about Jaden Higgins from a talent perspective, which I sort of kind of still do, but I'll put a pin in that and come back to it. I think even if you do have questions about like what's the ceiling of this player, this is a really good value to get this guy. And I think there's a couple of different reasons here why I think that's the case. One of my biggest questions with Higgins, Boone, coming into the league, I'm not sure where you stood on him as a prospect, but coming into the league for me, one of the things I just kind of struggled with is that he's billed as one of these big prototypical X receiver body types. That's what he played at Iowa State as a collegiate player across from his now still current teammate, Jalen Knoll. He was that big bodied outside, you know, X receiver on ball work. He did a little bit of that in Houston in year one, especially when Nico Collins missed time, which I think sort of skews his sample overall. Like when I went in and charted him for his rookie season, he did still take more snaps outside and on the ball than you kind of would want. That being said, the more that he played and the more when him and Nico Collins were on the field together, he played a lot more Z receiver as a bigger movement player. And the routes that you would typically want from that Z receiver, you know, big post routes, crossing routes, dig routes, out routes, you know, even some of the quicker routes as well, he did separate pretty well there. Overall, I still think, you know, from a vertical standpoint, he probably doesn't have that gear to pull away. Sometimes he'll get stuck at the top of routes. But if you just think about him as kind of a really interesting, bigger bodied Z receiver, who I do think will kick into the slot a good bit this year too, especially with Jalen Knoll, who I do still really like, I think is a very fine sleeper in his own right. The fact that he's not practicing yet, he's been on the NFI list with a finger injury. GM Nick Caserio was kind of coy about what his timeline was. Could be anytime he comes off the list, could be a couple of weeks. We'll see about that. But the fact that he's not been in camp, they're actually experimenting a little bit from what I've heard with Jaden Higgins as that bigger slot possession receiver as well. So this is just a guy, I think, when you think about the Houston Texans receiver room, it's Nico Collins and everybody else kind of orbits around him. I think I'm warming up to Higgins potentially being that clear number two receiver who likely has a better chance at playing a full snap share than a guy certainly like Tank Dell coming off injury, or even Jalen Knoll at this point, because he is dealing with an injury right now. So Houston Texans wide receiver Jaden Higgins as that wide receiver 54 off the board. I'm going to be a little bit higher than that when I do my – actually, I just did my rankings update this morning, and I'm at like wide receiver 47 on him.
Yeah, and I really like, you know, Nico Collins had a lot of nice things to say about him recently. Mm. But for me, when rookies get out there, one of the things you want to see is that they belong, right? You want them to get out on the field, make plays, flash a little bit, even if they're not in a full-time role, even if they're not starring in the offense. We want to know that there could be a progression towards them actually being a meaningful contributor down the road. And I think we saw that last year from him. He earned playing time right away. He was fairly productive in an offense that was kind of struggling last year and still had some decent games, right? Had at least 50 yards and or a touchdown in six of his last nine games last season, which was pretty good. Had 88 yards and a TD during the fantasy championship. So I'm sure fantasy managers remember that. And really just looked like he could be that, you know, meaningful number two in this offense. And when you look at everything else around him, I hope Tank Dell gets back to some form of what he was before. He was such an exciting player, right? I want that, not just because I have him on some dynasty teams where he's been sitting on my IR for now a couple of years, but also because we want to see this guy have a great career. He was such an exciting player. I'm not sure that's the case, though, and I'm not sure that's going to be the case early this season. You mentioned Jalen Knoll. We don't know what his injury status is, when he's going to be back. So it's really all pointing towards Higgins getting more work in this offense, being a real contributor. And I think this offense in general is going to have a bit of a bounce back season after some of the struggles that they had last year. So trying to find ways to buy in here, Higgins is one of the cheaper ways to do it. I think he's a really smart pick.
Yeah, saying no one's talking about this guy in the year 2026 is a futile exercise, because everybody talks about everyone. But I don't feel like I see a lot of pop on Jaden Higgins right now. And I think some of it could be just, I mean, look, it's hard to get people excited about Nico Collins because of the way CJ Stroud finished the season. I'm a little bit more of a Stroud apologist probably than most. So I get that. Like, maybe people don't want to find new and creative ways to get invested in the Houston Texans offense. But I'm with you that I think this offense will be better this year. Year two under Nick Caley, I think they want to install some more things. I think the offensive line will, you know, maybe be like the 24th, 23rd best unit, which is even a big improvement over where they were. And these younger receivers taking a step too, like them being able to put more on Higgins' plate, them being able to put Jalen Knoll, you know, in more situations. I think that will just kind of help the potency overall with the offense. And again, just my last point on Higgins individually, Boone, I just can't stress enough, like, him not having to play a lot of X receiver is a big deal, because I think at this point, sure, like, theoretically, I'd love to see Nico Collins move around the formation more. I kind of tend to think he's just going to be their X receiver, and he played like more X receiver on a percentage basis than almost anyone I've charted in the last 3 years did Nico Collins. And I think he will probably stay in that alignment, which just means that it's going to allow Higgins, you know, in the player comparison tool I launched this offseason, you know, he pops up with some X receiver types, but, you know, there's like a Tim Patrick season in there, an Adam Thielen season in there, Juwan Jennings season in there. I kind of think he fits more in that sort of bigger bodied movement player. And again, it eases a lot of the concerns. I mean, I saw him ranked as a day two prospect. He goes on day two. I wasn't like way low on him, but it eases some of those concerns that I maybe had about him as a prospect if he'd gone to a different team. The fact he's on the team with Nico Collins coming to year two, I do think he is a guy that just people aren't talking about quite enough, Higgins at wide receiver 54.
Well, and one thing I don't know that fantasy managers factor in enough, we do it all the time with running backs, right? What if the starter goes down and all of a sudden the value of the backup gets boosted? I don't think people necessarily do it enough with receivers, and it's not quite the same like one for one in terms of volume, right? You still have to earn targets, and like you're talking about, you know, guys are fit more in certain spots in the offense. But still, if Nico Collins misses time, and he has had injuries along the way, I think all of a sudden now Higgins has a way bigger ceiling versus the ceiling that I think he has right now. Like, even if Collins is healthy, we're looking at him as a wide receiver 3 flex option. He's not being drafted that way, but I think I brought this up on the show recently. last year from week 10 on, Higgins was the wide receiver 35 in fantasy points per game in half PPR. So he was already putting up those kind of numbers, and he's not even being drafted that way, right? So to me, this is a slam dunk. You grab this guy in an offense that we think is going to have a bit of a bounce back. And I do think there's some kind of hidden value there if Nico Collins ever does miss time.
Yeah, the stats on Higgins when Nico Collins was not on the field last year, not really pretty. It's like 0.94 yards per route run. But again, that was his rookie season. We could see maybe some different usage for him overall. It's still a good point that like the targets will go to him probably more so than any of these other guys without Nico Collins on the field. But let's move on here. You mentioned running back. Your next sleeper is at the running back position and someone we talked a lot about last summer. Not so much maybe this year. Where are we at?
Corey Kroski-Merritt, Bill Kroski-Merritt, JCM. What are we going with these days? I don't know, but yes.
Are we still doing Bill?
Bill is still a thing. I think I just kind of mix it up. When I'm writing about him, I just kind of throw all of them into the mix and we go from there. But yeah, we've talked about him a lot. Even going back to last year, talked about him as a sleeper. He got steamed up quite a bit before the season. And I think people are going to look back and go, okay, well, he didn't run away with the starting job and he didn't really end up being like a huge contributor to my fantasy teams. No, but he was also a seventh round pick and he wasn't terrible, right? 873 scrimmage yards and 8 touchdowns as a seventh round pick. That's not bad, right? And if you look at him specifically from a fantasy perspective, he was a top 10 fantasy running back in 4 different weeks, including twice in the final month. Like there was some production there. He ended the season strong, you know, top 95 yards on 2 occasions, scored 4 touchdowns during the fantasy playoffs. Like let's remember those things because I do think it does matter, right? He ended the season on that hot streak. Comes into this year, and yes, they go out and they get Rashad White. But what did they pay Rashad White? $2 million in a 1-year contract? Like, that's not significant money. I still think Rashad White is going to have a pretty big role in this backfield as a pass catcher, but I don't think he's going to necessarily be the guy that's going to run away with that job. They certainly didn't pay him that way. Catron Allen, another day 3 pick, went in the 6th round. More of that early down grinder type. Yes, does do a lot of the things that Chris Rodriguez Jr. did in this offense last year. And I think that's where people are getting scared that is this just going to end up being a 3-man committee again? It's possible. But basically everything that I've seen coming out of Commanders OTAs, Commanders early training camp here, is they're trying to give JCM a chance to win this job. Dan Quinn came right out and said he has to prove himself in the passing game. And that's just because the team doesn't want to be one-dimensional. They don't want to tell defenses what they're doing based on the personnel out there. So they need JCM to be better in the passing game. And a lot of what we're hearing coming out of camp is he's catching passes from Jaden Daniels. He's catching passes from Marcus Mariota. He's beating defenders and scoring touchdowns in practice. So is he going to be able to do enough to prove that he deserves to be that true lead back in this offense? Again, not going to be a workhorse, but if he can prove himself as that lead back, the guy who's going to get, you know, 50% of the committee, he can be a very strong fantasy asset. And we saw some of the explosiveness from him last year. He is far more explosive than anybody else in this backfield. So I'm looking at the Commanders offense as another one that I think could have a bounce back year. And the fact that you can take shots on their backfield outside of the top 100 picks, you could take a couple of these guys, like I think we talked about in last week's show, and we were going over the mock draft. Why not do it? And if I am going to do it, JCM is the first guy that I'm looking at. And part of that is I just don't see Rashad White as a player who's going to end up being a workhorse type. He's valuable in PPR, but there's a reason why the Buccaneers didn't bring him back and why they replaced him with Kenny Gainwell, who I think is a better player and better for the Buccaneers moving forward. And there's a reason why Rashad White only got $2 million in free agency. He is a bit of a limited player. He's never been able to take over a backfield himself. He can be that short-term relief guy. He can be that good pass-catching option, but he's not somebody that you're going to build your entire offense around. And JCM has a chance with his explosiveness to run away with this job. I hope he can do it. We're not there yet. He's going to have to prove himself over the summer here before we get to week one. But the fact that you could take him in like the 10th round, there's no risk involved in that. And you just might end up with a starting running back in real life and in fantasy.
Yeah. Look, I think you got to take shots on this Commanders backfield because Boone, this is probably the most, would you say it's like the most ambiguous backfield we have in the league right now, I struggle to think of like a different example.
Yeah, I mean, because we kind of know with the Vikings, we kind of know what the situation is there. They're going to go 50-50 with Aaron Jones and Jordan Mason, and then DeMond Claiborne, who we may touch on a little bit later. He's not one of the sleepers, but I want to bring him up at one point when I'm talking about someone else. Ugh. Yeah, that's another one where you can get all those guys basically like 10th round or later. But yeah, the Commanders one, we really don't know how this is going to work out. Catron Allen could end up taking a lot of early down work, be that more bruiser for the offense. It could go a variety of different ways. But again, I also like the fact that JCM saying, you know, he put on 7 to 8 pounds this offseason. He's bulking up. He's getting ready for more work. If he can prove himself in the passing game, Harmon, man, let's see it get done. And I know Grant Paulson of 106.7, The Fan, talked recently about how they were even splitting JCM out wide in practice. And sometimes I think when those things get reported this time of year, it's all for naught, because once you get to the season, we don't see it happen as much. But still, they're giving him opportunities to prove himself in this offense, in the passing game. And we just need him to come through now.
And I think there's a shot that he definitely could come through. Right now, I am super boring and I have Rashad White just ranked a little bit ahead of JCM, but that's totally in pencil. And honestly, something I just looked up while we were talking kind of makes me want to change my opinion on that. One of the reasons I'm really excited about this Commanders offense overall is the play caller change from Cliff Kingsbury to David Blau, and just more of the pro style offense that I think Blau will bring to the table. Obviously, he's never called plays. He's a projection. He's getting a huge promotion from assistant quarterback coach to offensive play caller for a defensive head coach. So like, he's going to run the whole show into big projection. But they've talked more about how they want to get more under center. You know, they want to take shots off play action, which, of course, you want to have a good under center run game if you want to do that. Well, if you just look at runs under center since he's entered the league, Rashad White, 3.6 yards per carry with a success rate. Obviously, this is, you know, it's a little team sensitive, but the Bucs have had a pretty good offensive line at times. A sub 37% rushing success rate on under center runs. Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt last year, success rate is much higher and yards per carry is 5.3. So I do think we've got like a pretty good kind of 46% success, 47% success rate, excuse me, for JCM on under center runs. So he could fit that style a little bit more and be that explosive runner that they're kind of looking for from a standpoint, changing the offense there, Boone.
And one last thing very, very quickly, because you know I always have to bring it up, is that extra data point. Commanders,
let's hear about the
easiest
schedule.
Fantasy running back schedule. The sixth easiest. So we're always looking for things at the extreme. Sixth easiest is definitely one where you want to look at that and add that to your thought process. Not to completely make the decision for you, but just as that extra little wind at his back potentially. So someone in this offense could be really good for fantasy. I think if I'm taking shots on it, JCM's the one I want.
I think I'm going to go ahead and flip Rashad White and JCM in my rankings. Maybe I'll flip it back. We'll see. But I got to say, Boone, I love that we've been working together now long enough that like I can see the gleam in your eyes when I know you're going to bring up the schedule. I knew, I was like, for sure he's going to say strength of schedule when I let him have one more line here. And as a reminder, folks, we are going to have a whole pod this August dedicated to fantasy schedules with our guy Justin Boone later on. So get excited about that. For now, we are going to take our first quick break of the show. When we come back, we've got more sleepers for you in just a moment. We'll get into that right after this. All right, we're back. We're continuing to talk through some real actual sleepers here on the Yahoo Fantasy Forecast with Justin Boone. And Boone, for my second sleeper, I'm going to go to the quarterback position and I'm going to talk about Malik Willis. 130th overall ADP, QB 19. To be clear, that's pretty much like right in line with where I have him ranked. So I'm not saying, oh my God, disgusting, terrible. How could he be? I have him literally at QB 19. So I'm in line with ADP on that one. But he does make for a good sleeper quarterback that I honestly think, even in Superflex formats with folks who, you know, maybe a little more casual, playing some casual leagues, they're not going to be wanting to click on the Dolphins starting quarterback, Malik Willis, who, as we're seeing on the screen here, is unfurling some deep passes to Tutu Atwell in Dolphins training camp. Because you might have heard, the Dolphins shed some talent at the pass catcher position this offseason and are left with one of the more curious wide receiver rooms I could probably ever imagine getting put together here. That being said, getting some good reports out of Dolphins camp on Malik Washington, who was a prospect that I liked coming into the NFL. There's also been some good notes on rookie receiver Caleb Douglas, who, Boone, that's the guy that actually no one is talking about. And I mean, obviously someone's talking about him out there, but like, I don't see any fantasy analysts talking about Caleb Douglas at all ever. He was an interesting prospect. He went a lot higher than I projected. He was a guy that I didn't even have charted before the draft. And I was like, shoot, he goes on day two of the draft, I'm going to get a charting profile up on him. So from my hotel room in New York, when we were doing the live draft show, I did put together the Caleb Douglas charting. And you know, he wasn't a complete dud at all. He actually had some really interesting marks and could be someone that could contribute this year for that team. So maybe I'm just, you know, inhaling the copium here, the hopium on some of these Dolphins pass catchers. But honestly, the barrier for entry for being an interesting pass catcher in the Dolphins offense right now is just so low. And it also doesn't really matter from a Malik Willis standpoint, because this guy is going to run with the football. Yes, I waited long enough, I think, when talking about Malik
buried
Willis.
The lead a little bit there.
Yes, intentionally, because I wanted to paint the other things, you know, before we got to the layup here, which is Malik Willis is going to run with the football. And if he starts all season, and look, everybody's benchable, okay? I don't care what the contract they gave him. If it's bad enough, they'll bench him and see what Quinn Ewers can do or whatever. But I think he's got a good shot to play all season. And if he does, and he runs at the level we've seen the last few years, he is going to flirt with fantasy quarterback one status almost regardless of who he's throwing to. And look, I'm not saying the Dolphins receiver room is good, but even if they just get a little bit something ahead of what people are imagining from Malik Washington, Caleb Douglas, and Chris Bell when he gets healthy maybe late in the year, you know, Devon Achane is still there. Greg Dulcich has some interesting metrics as well. It just needs to be functional for Malik Willis. And I could tell myself a story here on August 3rd about how it's functional in Miami. Boone, what do you think about Malik Willis as a sleeper quarterback?
We have to mention our guy Rich Rebar and the Konami Code. I think he would give us a hard time next time we see him if we don't mention him when we're talking about Malik Willis. But that's what this comes down to,
yeah.
Right? That we haven't really had a lot of quarterbacks sneak under the radar, go deeper in ADP, and still have that upside. Fantasy managers have been smart, and they've been drafting these guys as they've come along much higher. This year, there's so many good quarterbacks. That's why you're saying I'm in the same boat. It's hard to get him where I think he actually belongs because there's so many guys ahead of him that are really, really strong fantasy options as well. But yeah, you go back to some of those starts with the Packers, 41 rushing yards, 60 rushing yards, another game, 73 rushing yards. He's going to break some. They're going to make some big plays. They're going to take some deep shots. They do probably need someone to emerge in this receiver court. They have some options like you were going through. Maybe someone comes through. Maybe Greg Dulcich becomes a volume guy at tight end. Maybe they actually end up a little better than we think, because some of the things that have happened this offseason are maybe even double counting just how bad this offense could be, because we don't really like the skill position talent in the pass catching positions, right? Devon Achane's still there. And I know the history of rushing quarterbacks, you know, dumping off, it's not quite as good, but they have to throw to Achane. Like, Achane is the best player by far in this offense. They are going to use him a ton. And that can also help Malik Willis, because if they just get the ball in Achane's hands, he's going to be able to gain extra yards. He's going to make Willis, the stats at least, look much, much better. So yes, we're getting Willis very, very late right now. If he finishes inside the top 12 of the position this year, I don't think it would surprise anyone, and it's massive value. Now, would you be willing to take him as your only quarterback? I certainly don't have the guts to do that. I would need to draft him with someone else in that range that I feel also has a chance. But could you be nuts, Harmon, and be like, I'm going to take my last two rounds, I'm going to go Tyler Shuck and Malik Willis, both guys that have top 12 upside, and just hope I hit on one of these guys this year? Like, that's not insane. I don't know if I'd be willing to do it, but there's so many options in that range this year that you could.
Man, Scott and I were talking about this yesterday on the do's and don'ts, and it's just like, there's so many good quarterback options that is viable, I think, to truly punt the position. And yeah, last round, Tyler, which I love the Tyler Shuck shout out there, and obviously Malik Willis, that pairing would be super fun. I do think it's viable. And one real quick point, because you said something I think is so smart there, among the many smart things you always say on the show, Ben. But you mentioned just like double counting. And I do think one of my pet theories, and I'm going to totally be guilty of this too, because I'm definitely throwing stones from the glass house here, because I'm just as bad as anyone. Because we all produce so much content and we talk about this stuff all year long, I do think there's a lot of double counting going on when we're doing fantasy projections. And it's just like, it's hard to avoid. It just is what it is. And I do think we've all talked about how brutal this Dolphin, you know, losing Mike McDaniel, of course, and also the pass catchers and the talent that's left the building. I do wonder if there's just been a lot of double counting overall and how this Dolphins offense looks. Because here's the thing, man, from a pure fantasy perspective, number one, like the defense actually might be worse than the offense. And that's going to lead them to get into some situations where Malik Willis is going to have to throw the football around, and he's going to also then take off and run again in those sort of trailing situations. And I also wonder, just not to derail the conversation completely here, but where do you come down on Devon Achane right now as the one guy from this offense that everybody is drafting? Because 2 points I want to make here real quickly. One, Bobby Slowick, I know, is like persona non grata. He's one of those weird fantasy boogeymen play callers out there, and he is the current offensive coordinator. I honestly don't think Slowick is that bad based on what he did early on in the Houston Texans run there. He was also on this staff last year, so he's not going to come in and you would think like completely change the role of a great player who they extended and everything like that. And he will definitely lose some receiving ability. I mean, probably a decent bit of his receptions, because Tua is no longer there for just those, you know, disgusting checkdowns. But when we talk about a running back who actually did play from the slot, he led all relevant running backs last year with an 18% slot rate, an actual pretty decent amount. And he got work from there too, 26 targets, 19 catches. Those are both second only to Bijan Robinson at the position. So, you know, it accounts for 137 yards and one touchdown, but still some real actual work from the slot last year, in addition to, I think, an underrated offensive line and probably not a massive change in structure of the ecosystem and everything. So just where do you come down on the Devon Achane of all this? Because that's key to the Malik Willis point, I think.
I mean, I have him a little lower than we had him last year. I have him at RB9, but I will also say like RB5 to RB11 is very, very tight. It's pretty close. There's a couple guys that I just personally like more that I've bumped over him in terms of Chase Brown, who I think ADP-wise is behind him. Also, Marion Hampton with that Chargers situation, really wanting to invest in that offense. But yeah, Achane's still going to have a good year. People act like how bad this Dolphins offense could be is going to totally sewer him. And it might not be great, but last year they weren't great and he got a ton of volume. And again, going back to that point I said, they don't have a lot of other options. Even if someone emerges, I don't think anybody's emerging that's going to be a superstar in this offense. We're just looking for like passable talent at receiver.
Functional players.
This guy is kind of a superstar, so they need to get the ball in his hands. They're going to use him a ton. The volume's going to be there. Hopefully he does not break down. We're not going to sit here and try to predict injuries or anything like that, but he's a smaller player. I really hope that he's not like overdue for an injury and he starts to break down because they have to rely on him so much. But that is just purely anecdotal. That's just, there's no like real thought behind that. That's just me throwing that out there as more of just like a gut feeling that I'm a little bit worried about. But yeah, he's right in the mix with those guys from RB5 to RB11, which is a great range to be taking running back. It goes back to the second round, like we talked about last week in the mock draft takeaways, right? Basically all those running backs in the second round are really interesting picks.
Yeah, I'm 18th overall, running back 10. And I'm sitting here asking myself the question I asked you. Have I double counted on Devon Achane, who was running back 5 in points per game last year? Like, how much does he have to lose to drop all the way down to, you know, some places have him even lower ranked than running back 9, running back 10? I'm just going to kind of investigate that question a little bit further. So that's the most talking we've probably done on the Dolphins offense in quite some time, Boone. So again, I promised some sicko stuff on this show. We have certainly reached that threshold. Let's get into your third sleeper that people should not be sleeping on.
And a much better offense. Let's go to the opposite end of things, the Seahawks. I want to talk about Rashid Shaheed. There's a few receivers that are going very late in drafts that if I'm thin at receiver, and normally we've been attacking receiver pretty well from like round 3 to round 6 or 7, there's so many guys in that area that we like. But if I do end up going in a different direction with my build and I feel like I need to grab a receiver or two late in drafts, Rashid Shaheed, 145 overall, wide receiver 52, just incredible value there. And I think part of it is that people are looking at what he did with the Seahawks last season when he came over midway through the year, comes over at the trade deadline. They just kind of have to get him learning the offense on the fly and figuring things out. And he still found ways to contribute. A lot of it was on special teams, but didn't really emerge as like a consistent player in the offense. All the talk this offseason is that he has had the full offseason to learn the offense, to get acclimated, and that they now view him as a much more consistent piece of their attack. And I want to remind people, like, this is a player that has definitely flashed before. And consistency, when I say consistent, I'm talking about usage and him being out there more, potentially getting more targets. In fantasy, we don't necessarily need consistency. We need the highs. We're going to have lows with receivers. We know that. Even the best receivers, they have some bad weeks. But if you look at what Rashid Shaheed has done in the past, like, you look back to even the first half of last season before he got traded when he was with the Saints, he was putting up wide receiver 3 flex numbers in that stretch. If you go back to the year before, 2024, wide receiver 21 in fantasy points per game through 5 weeks before he got hurt. The year before that, he posted 6 top 20 wide receiver fantasy finishes. Like, he has showed us that he can do it and not necessarily needing so much volume to do it. He can give you 3-4 catches, come away with 2 long touchdowns, and he makes your fantasy week. And where you're drafting him is basically a spot where you could put him into your lineup as a flex, and you have a guy that could give you that kind of like week winning upside. I think he's somebody that people should be a lot more serious about based on everything we've heard of OTAs. Sounds very positive. You look at the other options in this passing attack behind JSN, there's not that much to get excited about. We like Torrey Horton, but Torrey Horton's coming off of a pretty bad injury, season ending. We don't know what he's going to look like out there. He's back on the field.
So making plays in camp, though.
Same player? He is, but is he going to be the same player that we saw flash last year? And even though he flashed, he found the end zone a bit. He still has a long way to go before he's proving himself.
Sure.
Cooper Kupp, 33 years old, only topped 50 yards once after Shaheed got there. So not really concerned about Cooper Kupp in this offense. There is a spot for Shaheed to have a meaningful role, to be pretty good for fantasy, even if it is fairly boom or bust. Where you're getting him, as long as he's giving you enough booms, that is fine. And it could potentially even get into your lineup as a wide receiver 3 or a flex option.
Yeah, he could be just a guy in during the bye weeks you throw out there and you hope you're getting one of those big weeks from him. Because I would agree, he is a talented player and like a proven player in the NFL too. Even if he didn't have those massive weeks last year, like the Seahawks just didn't really need him to have those massive weeks necessarily. But again, we've seen good play from him. I like him a lot as an individual receiver. I do. Listen, I remain really excited about Torrey Horton from a dynasty perspective, and I'm happy to see some good reports on him from camp. But yeah, you mentioned Cooper Kupp. Like, I just am really interested to see what his role ends up looking like this year, just because he was almost more of, like, is he going to just transition to being like a coach on the field? I don't know. Just didn't really have a lot of uses. He was good in the role that they asked him to play last year, but it just wasn't an expansive role. I mean, Jaxon Smith-Njigba last season, Boone, had a 35.8% target share, I believe. Either way, it was right. The most for any receiver since 2015. There's a lot of room for JSN to remain a target hog of that offense and to spread things out a little bit more. And I would say the number one candidate to take on more receiving work is probably Rashid Shaheed. And then guys like Torrey Horton, Elijah Arroyo in their second years can maybe step up, you know, kind of incrementally from there.
Well, I think you mentioned this recently, the idea that what if things aren't as easy for the Seahawks this year? Like, what if that rushing attack isn't as strong as it was and isn't as efficient as it was last season? You lost Kenneth Walker, Zach Charbonnet. We don't know when he's going to be back. Seems like his recovery is going well, but I don't think he's going to be a really important part of this offense until the second half of the season. So if they're not running the balls efficiently, we might see them have to throw a little bit more. And if they do, Shaheed is going to be a real piece of this offense who's going to get a good enough target share, get enough targets to actually put up some stats for fantasy. And like I said, we've seen him do it before, so why not in Seattle?
Yeah, I'll have to look more into this from the actual stats and results perspective, but this conversation and then the Josh Downs conversation, kind of the through line of that is these sort of maybe not traditional boundary receivers, the guys who are going to play more in 11 personnel and, you know, kind of need some of that role catering. It's a lot easier to kind of leave that guy on the bench and play your second tight end when you're smoking teams, right? Like the Colts were in the first 8 weeks of the season, like the Seattle Seahawks were really able to lean on teams for vast majority of the season with their defense and everything. But yeah, a little bit of chaos from a team level and you're in more catch-up situations, you're going to have to throw the football more and you're going to have to spread the field with more of these kind of ancillary receivers. So that's a good shout out by you. I kind of want to dive into that a little bit more from a stats perspective, but anecdotally, you know, it certainly makes sense for this archetype of receiver. But we are going to take another quick break. We come back. We've got some more sleepers coming your way, including two running backs on the other side of this break. We'll get into that right after this. All right, we're back. We're continuing to talk through some sleepers here for the 2026 fantasy season. And for my third sleeper, Boone, I'm going to go to a team. Like we went from the Dolphins. No one's talking about the Dolphins offense. Nobody talks about the Cowboys offense, right? No, not at all. But we are going to talk about second year running back Jaden Blue. And look, I know we've had some fun at producer Colin's expense about Jaden Blue on this show, but I do think this is a good year to maybe get back on the Jaden Blue bandwagon, because man, what they were saying about Jaden Blue last offseason versus what the team is saying this year, you remember like last season all through, you know, kind of mini camps, I was like, Jaden Blue, professionalism, maybe not looking that great out there. They have been definitely singing this guy's praise all throughout the course of the offseason. The drumbeat has been real out of training camp on Jaden Blue, and they are actually making a kind of a point to get him involved in the offense. And frankly, Boone, like, I do think they need to do that. I was listening to like my buddy Robert Mays at the Athletic Football Show. He had a Cowboys offensive coordinator Clayton Adams on the show not too long ago. I listened to that conversation because I'm just super fascinating. Really great to hear Clayton's approach. But one of the things that stood out to me from that conversation, and this was before Cowboys training camp, Clayton Adams was highlighting, like, yeah, he loved their run game. The design was great last year, but the one thing that was keeping him up at night was the fact that they didn't hit enough explosive plays last year in the run game. They were super successful, super efficient, and that's obviously Javonte Williams' game. He's super successful, super efficient, and I don't think anything, all the things I'm saying right now have nothing to do with, like, let's bump Javonte Williams down the rankings. As a matter of fact, I actually really love where Javonte Williams goes in drafts, and he's a guy I'm proactively targeting. But I do think they want to mix in a guy like Jaden Blue a little bit to hit those explosive plays. Like the fact that Adams said that in this interview prior to training camp, and then the drumbeat basically before and after that is, yeah, we want to get Jaden Blue more involved. I think there is some signal to that, Boone. This is a good offensive environment. This is an intriguing young player with a skill set that they need. And here's the last point on this. Jaden Blue is going at running back 69 in ADP right now, 251st overall. There is a former co-host of the Yahoo Fantasy Forecast who goes ahead of Jaden Blue at the running back position right now in ADP at the source I was looking at today. You guys who are, you know, longtime listeners of the show, I'll let you figure out which one of our former co-hosts is going ahead of Jaden Blue in ADP. But it's a person who's played running back and doesn't currently play for an NFL team. Okay. I have Jaden Blue ranked as the 48th running back off the board and somebody I would love to take in the late rounds pretty much every single time you give him to me this year.
This, I mean, we talked about the Dolphins. This is the most surprising thing that we've talked about maybe all offseason on this show. Going back to last year, the jokes with producer Colin, I honestly, when I saw you put his name in the dock before the show, I thought it was a bit, Harmon. I thought it was going to be like, you know, on Jimmy Kimmel when he's like, sorry, Matt Damon, we didn't have time. I thought it was going to be like, sorry, we don't have time to talk about Jaden Blue moving on. Like, that's where I expected him to be at, just because of how many inside jokes we have with producer Colin teasing him over the last year about Jaden Blue. However, you're right. You're right. There's been so much talk about him. We're seeing the highlights. Everyone watching the show right now can see all these highlights coming out of training camp, coming out of practice. He looks good. If he's got his head on straight, which last year, I think there's a lot of immaturity there. He needed to, you know, be brought along a little bit and didn't quite answer the bell. But we did see late in the season when he got out there, he flashed a little bit, right? He was only 22 years old. He's still very young, but week 18, when he got a chance, played 60% of the snaps, 64 yards and a touchdown on 16 touches. Like, wasn't the biggest day ever, but was at least something when he finally got that opportunity. So I'm with you. The only thing I would question when we're drafting guys kind of in this range, we're looking at the upside. Do you think he's the kind of guy that if Javonte goes down, he takes on this massive workload? Or do you think at that point it becomes more of a committee with a Phil Moffa or whoever else they end up having in that backfield?
Yeah, I think it would probably be mostly Jaden Blue. Like, I don't think he would be the guy that takes on a lot of carries, but at the same time, he is someone who would at least be on the field enough to still like probably see an increase in his pass down work, everything. Yeah. So I think that for the most part, Jaden Blue would be the guy there that would get the big benefit. Yeah. Maybe someone like Phil Moffa would mix in. Malik Davis, you know, is another name obviously that could be in the mix there. But yeah, for the most part, I do think Jaden Blue would be the answer there. And like, that's kind of why I really like him as a pick. I do think obviously he would be like a true desperation flex type play if there's no injury to Javonte Williams, but you could at least squint and see like some little standalone value. And obviously the big value would be if Javonte Williams, you know, were to get hurt or everything like that. So yeah, I do think there is some standalone value. It's funny when we talk about like the bit with producer Colin, I actually don't know like how much we've said on air versus off air. And most of the jokes you've made off air at Colin's expense, we should probably leave off air. So I think the listeners probably were like, what the hell are these guys talking about? By the way, in the YouTube chat, Scribbles643. That's right. We are live, folks. This is not pre-record. I always tell you guys when we pre-record, okay? Radical candor here on this side of the mic. Scribbles643 guessed correct. It was Austin Eckler. If you couldn't guess. That was the former co-host I was referring to. It's currently Austin Eckler, not on an NFL team. I'm sure Austin's in great shape. Guy takes care of himself. I'm sure he's in great shape, but he's not currently on an NFL team. His ADP is higher than 251st overall, higher than Jaden Blue. We got to correct that. Okay. We got to get Jaden Blue up the rankings. Okay. Boone, let's stick at the running back position. Who is your next sleeper we're going to talk about here?
I want to talk about like three guys. I'll start with Jonah Coleman, but I kind of said my bit on Jonah Coleman last week and how I'm approaching him.
Say it again, looking at
J.K. Dobbins. We're so worried about J.K. Dobbins having another season. Every year of his career has ended with injury or been derailed by injury. Is that going to happen again? We don't know. I hope that this is finally the one. I know Josh and Hayden did a video recently where they were saying, you know, what if this is the year J.K. Dobbins stays healthy? It would be great if that's the case, but we're talking about a 27-year-old back. He's going to turn 28 in December. We normally don't see guys get more durable as they get deeper into their career. So I'm worried about J.K. Dobbins. Could he start the season strong and then tail off with an injury like he's done the last couple of years? I think there's a very good chance that happens. And if that happens, I don't see R.J. Harvey being the next man up. Last year he was because they didn't really have another option. I think they brought in Coleman this year to kind of be that replacement so that Harvey can stay in his role as that pass catcher plus, and then Coleman could take over the J.K. Dobbins work, and the backfield could just keep moving along and just keep producing in one of the better offenses in the league. So he's someone that I've targeted a lot. I also kind of look at a couple other backs similarly, though I have Coleman a little bit higher. Damon Claiborne is one who I mentioned earlier. It's kind of a similar scenario in the Vikings backfield where Aaron Jones is a little bit older. He's going to turn 32 in December. He's had a ton of injuries over the last few seasons. He often powers through and, you know, chugs along and plays through it. But at some point, could we see him miss time? And if he does, we have Jordan Mason handling some of the work in that backfield. But Claiborne is already getting highlighted in practices as somebody that's very explosive, somebody that could factor in this year. So that's one where Aaron Jones goes down. I think we see Claiborne step into a lot of that Aaron Jones work, maybe even make it 50-50 still with Jordan Mason. And then Nicholas Singleton on the Titans. That's another one that, you know, going back to, I remember being at the combine talking about Claiborne and Singleton as players that I liked. I still like them. And I think that Titans backfield is kind of similar, right? Where we have Tony Pollard as the main guy. You have Tajay Spears in more of that change of pace kind of role. And if we see Pollard go down, is it going to become Spears' backfield, or could we see Singleton actually get some opportunity there and be worked in and step into kind of that Pollard role? I think there's a good chance of that. And I think when people are looking at these three backs, they're looking at them as the number three back in their depth chart. And yet I don't really see it that way. I see it as a situation where if the starter goes down, these guys are going to jump up into bigger roles. And I think that makes them very valuable. And I've been taking a lot of shares of them late in drafts.
Yeah, it's such a great point by you, and it kind of dovetails what Scott and I were talking about on yesterday's show and why it's so difficult to try to ensure your top back late in drafts. Because, yeah, theoretically, maybe Tajay Spears and, you know, RJ Harvey are the secondary backs behind the starters. But if things, you know, like an injury were to occur, I do think it would be those other guys that probably got a little bit bigger of a bump, especially Jonah Coleman. Like, I'll definitely I'll co-sign the Jonah Coleman sleeper pick here, because I think the Broncos offense is going to be good this year. The offensive line is really quality there. They've just kind of been waiting for somebody to be consistently available behind that offensive line. I think Jonah Coleman is a nice prospect as well. I really liked his game coming out of college. And last note on the J.K. Dobbins thing, Boone, I don't know if you saw this, but J.K. Dobbins did pinky promise reporters this year that he's going to play all 17 games. I really hope he does, man, because there is nobody that has been like more pushing back harder on the injury prone narrative than J.K. Dobbins. And I think he just gets unlucky. You know, just what if this is the year? That would be great. But he honestly, part of what might, listen, I know. But part of what might help a guy like J.K. Dobbins stay healthy is Jonah Coleman take a few grinder carries here and there. You know, I think Coleman could actually be involved a little bit even without an injury to J.K. Dobbins.
I think Dobbins might need a one wish Willow from the movie Obsession. He might need a wish like that to be able to be granted for him to stay healthy for the whole season. I knew you wouldn't have seen it. I'm sure the producers have. I'm sure a lot of people out there have. Harmon, not a big movie buff, but a great movie. Go check that one out. I saw it recently. Very fun one. A little disturbing,
it's on my list.
But very fun one.
Yeah. Yeah, it's on my list. I'm gonna be checking that out soon. I'm gonna see The Odyssey with my dad this week. So yeah, I'm gonna be
nice.
You know, two weeks late to what the culture or everybody's talking about. I'm gonna finally get on board with it here. But that'll be the first movie I've seen in theaters, I think, in like 3+ years. So yeah, that's interesting.
It's a good one. You made a good choice.
Yeah, I hear good I hear good things about the latest Christopher Nolan movie. Yeah, I hear some pretty good things. So I am excited to see that. And yeah, by the way, you mentioned you watch Jimmy Kimmel? Like, how often are you watching late night TV? No shot at Jimmy Kimmel, obviously very talented. You watching late night TV?
It's like a running bit that's gone on for like a decade or more. Like, I've just heard of it over the years. I'm not watching Kimmel every night. I'm not that old, Harmon. I'm a little older than you. And also, you did have a birthday recently. Happy birthday again. Hopefully everybody out there knows that. But yes, I am a little bit older than you. I'm not quite as old as, you know, the people who are mostly watching the late night shows these days.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. I mean, my God, like, I know you're much older than me, significantly older than me. But yeah, that's like way older than me. My God, that's some crazy stuff. Okay. Before I derail us any further, we got to take another quick break. We come back. We've got a few more sleepers here to clean up the rest of the show. We'll get into that right after this. All right, we're back. We've got three more sleepers to get through on our list here. But before we do, again, we are live on YouTube right now, which, by the way, subscribe to the YouTube channel. If you're watching this right now and you are not subscribed, I'm going to take that as a personal offense. And my feelings are very fragile, so please don't hurt them. Okay, subscribe to the YouTube channel. We're going to be here live Sunday to Thursday all through August. And because we are live, we can see a comment like JSemQ, I believe. I have no idea if I'm saying that right. But anyways, JSem says, if YouTube chat is being looked at, ... Boone is hot. H-A-W-T. Hot. Boone, any comment, any response to that accusation that you are hot? I think they're right. You look great.
I guess I should ditch the hat, right? I often rock a baseball hat when we're doing the show. Normally during the season, that's just a time thing. Saves me, you know, 10 minutes or something, so I could just jump on the show quick and use that 10 minutes for something more valuable, like working on the rankings. But I appreciate it. Thank you for the nice comment. Maybe that will encourage me to make sure I'm not rocking a baseball hat for most shows.
Yeah, I think that's great. Look, you won the rankings title last year. You don't have to worry. Take those 10 minutes, be second in the rankings contest, and be number one in the hotness rankings. Okay, that's my advice for you this year. My advice for the people out there this year is, if you are looking for a sleeper tight end, look pretty far down the ADP rankings and find yourself some Terrence Ferguson of the Los Angeles Rams. ADP 188th overall, tight end 27. I'm going to be a little bit ahead of that on Terrence Ferguson. Look, I'm digging deep on this one, okay? 29 catches is the projection here. Caught 11 passes last year. Oh, boy, okay? Not a lot. Also, some of the film, a little questionable, a little questionable in terms of the ball tracking. Here's the thing, though. I was just charting Davante Adams for reception perception over the weekend, because that's what I'm doing on my 35th birthday, Boone. I'm charting Debo Samuel in 2025. But the day before that, I was working on Davante Adams. And I just think this Rams offense really needs like some speed, really needs some verticality to it. It's not coming from Adams. Puka Nacua is going to sprinkle in here, but Terrence Ferguson really does give them that lid lifting presence. Like, he's kind of become the sacrificial player in the offense from a tight end perspective. But I also think something that stood out with him is that he's like flexing out to true receiver, you know, alignment for them. So I just feel like Ferguson's role is going to increase this year. We're going to see more and more of him. So if you are looking for a true sleeper desperation tight end, I'm definitely taking a look at Terrence Ferguson. But like I said, this is a deep play here for this one.
Yeah, absolutely. Not somebody that in redraft I can say I've taken much of, just because you don't really have to. But in deeper leagues and best ball leagues in Scott Fishbowl, Harmon, I took him as my fourth tight end. And in that format with the scoring, that in my mind is a great pick. Tight ends are getting pushed up a little bit based on that scoring. But yeah, I think this really comes down to, can he emerge out of that big group of tight ends that they have and really serve as like that de facto number three receiver in this offense? Yeah. I also still, I have some questions about Davante Adams. I know he's great. I know he can put up a huge touchdown total, but they don't have a lot at the number three receiver spot. And if Davante Adams at his age, which I think he's going to be 34 during the season, if he starts to break down, become less efficient, could we see Ferguson step up and take more of a role on? Because think back to this offseason, Harmon. The Rams were reportedly in on A.J. Brown. There's been flirting with Stephon Diggs at different points, according to reports. Like, I wonder if they see the writing on the wall that Davante Adams might not be able to keep this up, and whether they need somebody else to step up in that passing attack. And if that's the case, Ferguson's a pretty interesting pick and could be the third best pass catcher in that offense. Or if one of those top two guys misses time, turn into a really valuable, potentially fantasy starter.
Yeah, I think he could be a fantasy starter if there are injuries here, for sure. Like you mentioned, the depth is not great. I do think they're an interesting Diggs landing spot. Let's put a pin in the Davante Adams conversation, because I think that would be good for like a future episode, and we can really kind of unpack some of the risk reward of that profile and everything there. But yeah, I mean, just again, looking at the 13 personnel depth chart that we have on the screen right now, Colby Parkinson is the guy that's going to most likely play the most snaps in this tight end room. But I think that Ferguson, if he takes a step forward, we showed one of Zane's tweets earlier here, as he kind of might be that essentially third receiver as well. I do think there's just some room for him in the offense. Again, as Zane notes, another signal from the Rams team site that Terrence Ferguson might be the team's wide receiver three as a tight end, matches what he's seen in other places as well. And as you know, we had Zane on the show a few weeks ago. Nobody is grinding the news harder than him. So definitely make sure you are following him. We're showing his Twitter handle on the screen right now. Make sure you're following him. He's been locked in, of course, throughout the course of the offseason. Let's get to your fifth and final sleeper here, Boone. Who do we got?
We talked about double counting things against a player, and I think the fantasy community has double counted a little bit against Zachariah Branch for the way that he was used at Georgia. And there was a lot of talk when he was coming out that he was kind of just used as like a gadget player and all the screen stuff. And would he be used differently in the pros? Would he be deployed differently? And did he have the ability to really be deployed differently and have success in the pros? And we are still just in off-season practices. We haven't seen it in a game yet. But right now, the reports coming out of Atlanta are very strong. This guy's making plays every single day. And also, Harmon, you've seen the highlights. He's beating that defense deep. He is getting downfield. He's making plays. I think this is a really exciting player in an offense that doesn't have a proven number two. And some people will point to Kyle Pitts being that number two receiver potentially in the offense. I'm not so sure about that. I think Kyle Pitts is a good player. I think we saw him really excel for fantasy when Drake London went down last year with an injury, but that was almost by default, right? That was just because he had to. They didn't really have anyone else. If you look at this receiving core, Jahan Dotson, we're still keeping that candle lit, and there's been some positive things said about him from some of the beat writers in Atlanta as well this offseason, that right now he's sitting in that number two role. But in terms of just an explosive player that could, you know, outduel his draft slot, that could give you way more value, we're looking at Branch right now, 235th overall, wide receiver 76. And when I see a rookie out there making plays like this in practice, I want to grab him and put him at the end of my bench and see if he can turn into something. I know Tua compared him to Jalen Waddle, you know, and that's obviously just him throwing that out there. Guys often use players that they used to play with or that they used to coach to make those kind of comparisons. But when you look at the size of it all, like, he could come in there and really be something, be that explosive player in this offense, be that quality number two option. I don't know, Harmon, I'm getting much more excited. I liked him. I was taking him in the third round of a ton of dynasty rookie drafts. And I love what I'm hearing here. I love that we're seeing him make plays and potentially grow into a role in this offense.
Yeah, he's really tough just because obviously the role was so bizarre from a collegiate perspective. That being said, though, the things that were the best parts of his reception perception profile was actually his ability to beat man coverage. From a just relative perspective, he wasn't that great against zone coverage, but 83rd percentile success rate versus man coverage, and kind of some of the routes that you've seen, you know, again, it's training camp. Some of it's one-on-one situations, but he's winning in against like one-on-one man coverage from a downfield perspective, which are the routes that I thought he was best on. So there is a chance that he just was used in this kind of bizarro way with Georgia last year, but he's more of a downfield receiver. I'm a little more skeptical maybe than you are, but at the same time, he's totally free. And even from a dynasty rookie draft perspective, we got a super chat here from Theory7, who said, drafted from the nine spot last night, got Jordan Tyson, Dazon's dribbling, but most excited about Branch at the 3.09 because he's barbecuing everybody at training camp, as you mentioned. I think third round pick is totally fine for Branch because it is a wide open second. I'm holding out hope for Jahan Dotson. I think he is underrated. I think he'll be all right there, but I still think there's room on the depth chart to get excited about a second Falcons receiver. The only thing I would note is, you know, I don't know how far down the list I want to go for Falcons players in the year 2026 with the current quarterback situation. But, you know, Michael Penix will let that thing fly. So if he starts a few games, I certainly would be interested in if Zachariah Branch can get going there. But man, I would also like to just see, you know, somebody at the Falcons quarterback position besides like the Minnesota East West guy that Nate highlighted with on his podcast, the quarterback preview. Shout out to Nate on that one. That was a deep dive. Anyways, all right. So yeah, I do think
that deep cut.
I do think Zachariah Branch though is someone to keep an eye on because there has been a pretty consistent drumbeat on him, but I just think people are not paying attention to the deep Falcons receivers right now at this point. I'm going to talk about one more rookie receiver before we get out of here, Boone. Fifth and final sleeper from me is a prospect I did really like, and it's Antonio Williams. ADP is really depressed. 217th overall, wide receiver 70. And I feel like everybody has basically, from an ADP perspective, been pricing in that the Commanders are going to get somebody else for that second receiver spot. Like, oh, it's going to be Brandon Ayuk. I'm thinking right now at this point, it's not going to be Brandon Ayuk, which we've talked about a lot on the show. He bought that Loudoun County home. I don't know if that means he's going to be playing for the Washington Commanders this year. Is it going to be Steph Diggs? I mean, people have been talking about that for months, and, you know, that has not really happened. I think they're probably waiting to see how things play out in training camp. And it's not that there's been some incredible buzz about Antonio Williams or whatever, but it's a depth chart that can be climbed. It's pretty wide open. I am excited about this offense, and I just think he could be maybe not a guy you need to draft right now, you know, but could be one of those second half of the year sleeper receivers who kind of takes a step forward as this offense comes together. So, you know, I feel like we just haven't talked about Antonio Williams in a while, but just a rookie that I think is in a good spot and is a talented and a good, steady route runner. Somebody I definitely can think can be a sleeper this year.
Yeah, also a player that I really like that I was drafting a ton in rookie drafts for a lot of the reasons that you were saying there. And yeah, if they stick with what they have behind Terry McLaurin, Treylon Burks and Luke McCaffrey and Jalen Lane and Dyami Brown and Van Jefferson, like, that is not a scary group. And apparently what we're seeing and what the beat writers are talking about right now is that Williams looks great. Now, he's only getting a lot of work against the second team offense, and he's working with Mariota quite a bit right now. And a lot of the reports have been he's getting a ton of separation. He's getting open and Mariota's not finding him. So hopefully the coaching staff is realizing that and he'll get some more opportunities with the first team offense and Jaden Daniels will complete those passes and then we can get that hype train really going. But right now I'm buying in all formats. And yeah, I think he's going to have a pretty solid career and be a pretty good value pick for sure in fantasy.
Well, Boone, I think this was a really solid show from you. We got the YouTube chat popping off about how attractive you are. We're, you know, going to have you wear fewer hats this year. Maybe finish second in the rankings contest. That's fine. But you're number one in our hearts. How about that? Number one in our hearts and number one in the fantasy football analyst attractiveness rankings, Boone. That's your goal for this year. Appreciate you doing this show, man. What do you got working on that the people can check out this week?
Oh, we got a ton of things going on. Huge updates to my rankings, to my dynasty trade value charts. I'm going to do a sweep back through the breakouts and sleepers articles and everything that I did over the offseason to make sure that's all up to date for everybody when they get to their drafts. So plenty of content. And yeah, shout out to all the comments out there. Appreciate all that stuff. And yes, we will keep the hats over on the shelf there maybe next time. And we'll keep actually doing my hair, which, you know, have not done. I'd say, what's the percentage, Harmon? 70-30 for the times that I've worn a hat it's on the show. Low. So we got to get that. It's a little closer to 50-50. Yeah.
That's right. All right. I'm not doing the hats on the show as much anymore until it's like 2 days before the haircut. All right. So we're bringing our best to the table here, both from an analysis perspective and certainly as best we can from a looks perspective. So Boone, appreciate you. You will be back every Monday here on the show, pretty much until the end of days. All right. So get used to Justin Boone. I'm excited to have you all the way along through August as we continue to go through this whole thing together. We, however, will keep this show rolling. On the other side of this break, Eric Froton joins me to continue the sleepers party. As yes, we're talking college fantasy football sleepers. We will get into that right after this. All right, we are back in college fantasy football. We've been talking about it, but it is now available on Yahoo Fantasy. And I have the great pleasure today of welcoming our college fantasy football analyst, Eric Froton, back to the show. Eric, the announcement went out today. We're playing the video if you're watching with us live on YouTube. RG3 helping us announce the college fantasy football game. What's going on, buddy? How you doing?
Oh, yeah, a truly landmark moment for us college fantasy football enthusiasts out here. RG3, Baylor legend, RG3, Heisman Trophy winner representing CFF. It's a great day. Great day to be here, man.
Dude, RG3, that season had to be like just shredding people in college fantasy football. That had to just be like an unbelievable moment.
Oh, utter destruction. And not only that, but you had Case Keenum, Houston Cougars icon, Case Keenum, throwing for over 5,000 yards that very same season. If you had both of them, watch out. Unstoppable with those two.
Oh, my God. I love it. Okay. All right. So in the theme of sleepers on this pod, we thought we'd continue the show here. Boone gave us his 10, his five and my five sleepers for NFL fantasy football on the show. But we thought you'd jump in here on the end and give us four sleepers in college fantasy football this year. And I got to tell you, Froton, I have heard of none of these people. Okay. I mean, I haven't heard of it, like some of the big names in college fantasy football, but I certainly have not heard of these four guys at all. So let's hear it. Let's let it rip. Who's your first sleeper in college fantasy this year?
Well, Missouri last year, everybody knew about Ahmad Hardy, I'm sure, as he was one of the best 2027 projected running backs out there. Him and Kawan Lacy were pretty much the top two. But Ahmad Hardy suffered a gunshot wound in May. His availability is very much up in the air. Last time we heard on SEC Media Days, it was going to be 5 to 8 weeks before reevaluation. That puts him, I don't know, September. Maybe they ease him in because they have a very soft schedule during those first four games. Who's behind him? Jamal Roberts, 5'10", 212, averaging 0.97 points per touch. If he is thrust into that primary role, you give him 20 touches, maybe 17 carries, throw in three receptions. That's a 20-point-per-game running back, and that is what you're looking for at the position.
Is this somebody that's, like, draftable, like, late round? Someone you're keeping on, like, kind of an eye waiver wire speed dial? Give us sort of the range here on someone like Roberts.
Yeah, well, he has a 21.5 max miles per hour in terms of in-game athleticism, which is great. You know, anything over 21, as close to 22 as you're going to get and over, that's where you want to be. Some size speed comps, you're looking at, you know, Chris Polk, Jamarian Miller, Jerome Ford. Maybe he can outperform those metrics since he is pretty good on the speed front. We don't have any agility testing with him. Seems like he has a real one-cut type of profile and then wants to get into it. But that's a good Missouri offensive line that he's running behind. And again, that early season schedule, maybe Jamal Roberts is the one who has the job all year long. And if Ahmad Hardy is not ready, why would you want to compromise your NFL draft value if you're Hardy, since you're pretty much already made man?
Makes a ton of sense to me. Good to note about Roberts there. Give us your second sleeper that people need to keep an eye on.
Yeah, this is a sleeper in the context of college fantasy football, since he's going around, call it running back 8 or so in the early season stuff. But Jaden Baugh, Florida, I think he's a first-round caliber talent that's slated to come out for next year from a fantasy. I mean, 6'1", 228, 565 squat, cleans 335, 350 bench, and a 4.57 40 at 228. That gets me excited. From a fantasy perspective, it was all about how he sort of ramped up, right? We know we had Billy Napier at Florida last year. He was as lame as a lame duck gets heading into 2025. And now I think that's a fair statement. I don't want to offend anybody in Florida, but I know they're not they're not disappointed to see Billy go and to see John Sumrall in, who comes in from Troy and Tulane. And he is known for riding his number one running back, which you're close strong, right? 17 points plus in his last six contests, had at least 3 targets per game in 9 of his last 10. As we talked about that frame, he's like a cross between Ramondre Stevenson and, you know, a light version of Marshawn Lynch. Like, that is the type of a package.
All right. With
incredible elusiveness. Definitely somebody you want to have on your radar. If you see Florida popping up on the screen on Saturday, get a look at Jaden Baugh.
Love it. So, okay, running back 8 type of range there. So it's definitely somebody that is going to be, it's going to be drafted. Probably somebody you're leaning on there. In that case, I like that. By the way, just listen, I will tell you on the history of this show here, Eric, some of the guys I've given like the Bud Light comp to, from a receiver perspective, like, oh, Amon-Ra St. Brown, he could be like a Bud Light Cooper Kupp. Parker Washington, he could be like a Bud Light Golden Tate. Those takes have aged pretty well. Okay, so if you're giving out the Bud Light Marshawn Lynch comp here, you know, again, history of Yahoo Fantasy Forecast, those Bud Light comps have aged pretty well. So we like to see that. Give us your third sleeper that you're looking at this year.
Yeah, we're going to go with Marvelous Marcellus Hawkins, 5'10", 223 for Virginia Tech. He's actually a holdover from the previous regime of the Brent Pry era, former defensive coordinator for Penn State. Very rare you see a team fire the head coach and he stays on as the DC when the new head coach comes in. And that's what happened here at Virginia Tech. So there's continuity there in the coaching room. James Franklin comes over from Penn State, where we know Nicholas Singleton, right, now on Tennessee. Catron Allen, now on Washington, a pair of bell cows. Marcellus Hawkins is going to be the one who's carrying that load this year, right? Last year, a pretty interesting stat that kind of gets into Virginia Tech and what we were dealing with last year. 200 carries were distributed between Marcellus Hawkins and Terrion Stewart last year. Just one rushing touchdown between the two of them. Just, I mean, almost biblical futility here. You don't see a lot of that 200 carry, one touchdown out of a primary running back, you know, very often. And this is a guy who averaged 6.4 yards per carry, right? This is 4.7 yards after contact, 36% broken tackle rate, important dominance metrics, and he's not getting in the end zone. Well, this year you got Ethan Grunkmeyer coming over, who is a true pro-style quarterback. Last year they had Kyron Drones, who was a true dual threat. As you might say in college fantasy parlance, a solo threat, because he couldn't throw a football forward very effectively. So now that they have a more traditional pro-style quarterback in Grunkmeyer, we know that those touchdowns are going to go up with a 500-pound squat, 20-mile-per-hour top speed at 223 pounds, and elusiveness. I'm excited to see what he can do with 200 touches.
I love it. Yeah, 6.3 yards per carry. Like you mentioned, the after contact stats, those are certainly impressive there. And I love that. I'm going to remember that. Solo threat, not the dual threat quarterback, the solo threat quarterback. A little dual threat, maybe actually throw that football forward. We could be pretty good there on that one. Okay, your fourth and final sleeper. Hit us with this one.
Oh, I say possibly the best for last. We're going with Oregon sophomore running back, De'Aaron Hill. Might be the most explosive back in the entire country. Averaged 8.2 yards per carry on just 59 carries is all he got. As the RB, like 3-4, because they had a major rotation going on in Oregon last year. It didn't matter. 6.5 yards after contact. 39% missed tackle rate. True dominance. And when you look at the way he was deployed in the passing game, he was split out wide 12% of the time. He was in the slot 35% of the time on pass situations. Almost half the time, they're putting me in a position to be catching the ball downfield, in a position to make plays. Rare type of a skill set. I was at Penn State last year, and I spoke with Kenyon Barner, former legend of Oregon. He raved about him when I was at that Penn State game. And let me tell you, Mr. Barner was correct. You want as much De'Aaron Hill as you can get. He's going to be a co-starter. He's going to have plenty of work. And with that explosive profile, expect big things.
Love it. We get a double recommendation from Eric Froton and Kenyon Barner. That's some good stuff there for De'Aaron Hill. I'm definitely writing that name down myself, and you should as well. Thank you, Eric. Appreciate you, as always, for jumping on the show. And reminder, folks, you can play college fantasy football on the Yahoo Fantasy app right now. Sign up for a league today. Shout out to Eric. Shout out to Justin Boone. Hell of a show here today for us, and that is going to do it for this one. However, on Tuesday, drum roll, please, ladies and gentlemen, Ray Garvin makes his highly anticipated return to the show as we try to do the impossible and pick the perfect draft together. We're going to identify 15 guys, one in each round, our favorite pick in every round that you should target this year. That is going to be live, as I proved to you today, actually live, right here at 4 p.m. Eastern on this very YouTube channel. So subscribe and see you guys tomorrow. Until then, we are out.